Welcome back to the program on this Wednesday. We are 1 week removed from SEC Media Days here in Hoover. You got to see every SEC coach make his address to the assembled media members there at the Winfrey Hotel, as well as Commissioner Mike Slive, who had some interesting concepts that he discussed about the future of the NCAA rule-making process, rule-enforcing process, and the future of college football recruiting in general. But we are back after taking last week off due to SEC Media Days and a number of other things going on. Great to have you with us. Thank you for listening to this program. Robert McElroy will be coming up a little bit later in the program. We will discuss the top five dark horses to win the national championship this year. Which five teams do we think under the radar have a chance to win it all this year in New Orleans? We'll discuss that. A number of other things going on, and there isn't enough time to get to all of it that has happened since SEC Media Days, but just want to run through each coach's press conference that they had there. I sat through every single one of them, and they were all fired up, ready for the 2011 season, as you can imagine. The first day started with Commissioner Mike Slive giving his address, and I will print some thoughts on what Mike Slive had to say tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. It'll be my column here on the website. I will give my opinion of his proposals. A lot of coaches disagreed with what he had to say. One thing he wants to institute is a four-year, or should I say multi-year, scholarship that goes beyond what is already offered. Pretty much every coach was not in favor of that, thinks that that would be unfair if a player did not pull his weight, did not perform up to par, that they would have to keep him. They would be obligated to keep him because of the contractual situation that would be. He also wants to raise the minimum GPA, grade point average, of a first-year college student from 2.5 required to 2.0 required to 2.5 required. So Commissioner Mike Slive making some ambitious proposals at the SEC Media Days. Don't know if any of them will ever get passed or will ever become NCAA law, but certainly interesting to think about and something that he feels passionate about. Now, the coaches indicated that he did not talk to them about this before SEC Media Days, before they were thrust into the media spotlight. That seems a little bit unreasonable to me, because you have such grandiose proposals like these that would be quite a large undertaking, and you don't even share them with the coaches that are going to have to be taking the media podium and speaking and taking questions on these specific proposals. You don't share it with them. I think that was not in the best judgment of Commissioner Mike Slive. I think he should have certainly apprised the coaches of all of this information before they had to take the podium in Hoover. Bobby Petrino spoke first, followed by Florida head coach Will Muschamp in the first session. Petrino very high on his team's chances to win a number of games this year, perhaps go all the way to the SEC championship or win the national championship. A very good group of guys that he has on his team. We'll talk more about them later. Will Muschamp made his first appearance at the SEC Media Days as a head coach. Very polished. I think he did a very, very good job judging the standards of other first-year head coaches who fumbled all over themselves and did not look prepared for the event. I think Will Muschamp definitely got the job done in the Winfrey Hotel. Steve Spurrier was next. He is always interesting. This year he was very jovial. And I've been told by some of my colleagues that when Steve Spurrier has been jovial in the past at SEC Media Days, his teams have always been good. We know South Carolina has a boatload of talent this year. He was jovial at SEC Media Days. Does that mean South Carolina has a chance to go real deep this year? We'll see. Dan Mullen was next. He, of course, talked about Mississippi State as he has turned that program around. And he was really the first coach to voice support for Commissioner Slive's proposals, as he did. He believes that Commissioner Slive's proposals were indeed useful and that he would support them actually getting passed and becoming law in the NCAA world. So that wrapped up the first day a pretty packed first day there with the Spurrier Muschamp first time, and of course Commissioner Mike Slive giving the opening address. The second day was a little bit less of a luster in the early session. Joker Phillips was on the podium first. I was very underwhelmed by Joker Phillips. You've heard a lot about how he may not be connecting as well with the Kentucky faithful, the Kentucky big deep pocket people up there, and I can see why. He is definitely not as engaging as other coaches. Seemed distant and like he didn't even really want to be there. So Joker Phillips was the first off on the second day. Next to the podium was Mark Richt. I think Mark Richt definitely had a good message. I think he definitely wants to bring his team, elevate his team from last year's troubles, but he still sounded very much like he was trying to convince himself that he had a chance to win the SEC championship and perhaps national championship this year, and you definitely don't want to be doing that at this point in the year. Then it was Auburn coach Gene Chizik's time, and he took, I believe, he took a large number of questions on NCAA matters. I believe more than any other coach, probably in the history of this event, about NCAA matters, and that just demonstrates the murky waters that are surrounding Auburn University right now. He was questioned, of course, on his episode with Julie Rowe Locke, the NCAA Director of Enforcement. He was questioned about comments Danny Sheridan, college football oddsmaker, made on the Paul Feinbaum Radio Network the day before last Wednesday, the first day of SEC Media Days, that the NCAA, he said that Sheridan said he had a source at the NCAA that said Auburn was waiting, that they were waiting on a bag man to come forward in the Auburn Cam Newton case. So Chizik was just questioned left and right by the media, and I'm going to tell you, I think Chizik looked beaten down. I think he looked like he was just ready to get out of there, and I think that is exactly what was going on, as he had to face question after question regarding the NCAA's inquiry into Auburn. Final coach of the day on Thursday, last Thursday, was Tennessee head coach Derek Dooley, and of course he was very inspiring. I thought Derek Dooley was very engaging. I thought he provided a good message about his Tennessee team. Remember, they are undermanned again this year after having a 6-6 regular season last year. But I think Tennessee is on the upswing for sure under Derek Dooley, and I really liked what he had to say last week at SEC Media Days. The Friday session, the final day of SEC Media Days, was kicked off by Alabama head coach Nick Saban, and this obviously was the most intensely covered media conference of the week because of the hype surrounding the Crimson Tide. He went into, he expressed concern about Commissioner Slive's proposals and the ramifications of what they would have, but he went on to say that Alabama's not buying into all the hype that may or may not be heaped upon them by national publications. He talked about the challenges that the earlier in the year tornado had brought to them, and that he also made an interesting comment about fandom in the Alabama-Auburn rivalry. He said that fans should act in a class manner, and that the Alabama-Auburn back and forth should not be personal, and he said Alabama fans should always remember that. Vanderbilt coach James Franklin was next. I think he really wants to give Vanderbilt as positive of an outlook as he can. Keep in mind, though, that it is Vanderbilt, and it's hard to sell Vanderbilt at times. Houston Nutt was third Ole Miss coach on the final day of SEC Media Days. He spoke as optimistically as he could about the upcoming season, but it really looked to me like Houston Nutt is on a sinking ship, and that he is trying to get support for his Ole Miss program, but it just isn't working. Ole Miss seems to be going down quickly after the last 2 years. And then finally, it was LSU coach Les Miles' turn to speak. He was the final coach to speak at SEC Media Days, and he said that his team would not be looking ahead to any games because they play 6 games not in Tiger Stadium, and that is an extremely tough schedule. He said that the first game against Oregon is going to be tough, and then they're going to take it game after game since then. Talked about his ventures with eating grass, as has been widely publicized. Les Miles, always a crowd favorite, making his appearance at SEC Media Days. Very entertaining conclusion to the coach's press conference. All in all, SEC Media Days got off without a big story. I don't think there was really that big of a story this year, except for maybe the Danny Sheridan comments about the bagman in the Cam Newton case. But that's pretty much a wrap of SEC Media Days 2011. Robert McElroy is with us now. He's been with us before. You know him well, hopefully, by now, if you listen to this program. Robert, good day. Thanks for being with us.
Man, it's always good. I appreciate it. It was good to get to see you last week at SEC Media Days. Looking forward to another show. We're getting that much closer, man. I'm that excited.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Well, we're going to give this is what we're going to do here on this segment of the show. We're going to give our top five national dark horses. Now, these are not your mainstream, your Alabama, Oklahoma, LSU, Florida State. We're going to kind of deviate from that and give our top five dark horses for the upcoming season. And I'm going to let Robert lead off with his number five, and then I'll go five, and we'll work up from there. But, Robert, you're up.
Appreciate it, man. I knew this was going to be a fun show to do because last year what we really had were two dark horse national title contenders in Auburn and Oregon, so I thought this would just be a really fun idea. I have a little honorable mentions list I want to get to right before I jump into my top five. These teams either, to me, were a little too good to be considered dark horses for a national title, or they're just on the cusp. They're not quite there yet. Give them another year or two.
Right.
I have Wisconsin, Nebraska, Oklahoma State, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Georgia, TCU, and Arizona State.
Now, yeah, I think Arizona State, that's an interesting pick. I almost put them on my list.
And all these teams kind of sort of almost qualify. In fact, if we were doing like a top 10, top 15, they'd probably be speckled throughout that list. But
yeah.
I just wanted to give these teams, you know, a shot out there because I think they're all very strong. This didn't quite make my list. But either way, number five, I have Michigan State. I had the Michigan State Spartans on my list. Last year on cover two, I had actually picked them to be my surprise team in the Big Ten. Of course, they had a three-way Big Ten tie for the title that year in 2010. I think offensively the Spartans will rely on the legs of running back Edwin Baker. I think he could be one of the Big Ten's best. And Kirk Cousins, one of the best quarterbacks going into the Big Ten this year. They could surprise some people. They certainly did last year with winning a piece of the Big Ten. So big things are happening in East Lansing. I hope they can keep it going.
I hear you. My number five, and I you know, you hate to put this team in a dark horse role, but I think Notre Dame. I think they have a manageable schedule. I think, really, Brian Kelly has done a great job turning that program around from the mess that was left by Charlie Weiss. I think this year, Notre Dame, you could see them, if they can get past a couple of those early games. Of course, they got to beat the USC's of the world. But I think they can get an undefeated season easier than some may think. I think Notre Dame's a dark horse to get in there. Because, you know, if they get up there, they're going to get the national love that they need as far as in the polls.
I agree with you completely. I think it's a great pick. There's a reason I didn't put Notre Dame on my list of honorable mentions, because they could very well get into the BCS picture, possibly get to New Orleans. And I agree with you from the standpoint of that national love. As soon as you start to see that team get 3-4-5-6-0, if that happens, the national love will, it'll already get pretty old by the time October rolls around.
Absolutely. All right, Robert, number four.
My number four dark horse team to make it to New Orleans is out of the Big East, the West Virginia Mountaineers. Stewart's out after a very awkward exit. We talked about that my first time on your show. But Dana Holgorsen was just an excellent hire. He is the former offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. He's going to take over as head coach, and it's going to happen. It happened a lot sooner than most would expect. And, you know, I think it was the kind of preseason drama that's not going to carry over into 2011. They have their head coach. They've moved on. I don't think that kind of drama is going to affect the product we see on the field. As far as that product we're going to see on the field, I really like Geno Smith, that quarterback. He was an all-Big East player last year. Coupled with the offensive genius that is Dana Holgorsen, I think they're going to throw the ball a lot up there, but I think they can get away with it in the Big East. And this will be a good time for them to win the Big East. that the TCU Horned Frogs join them in 2012.
Absolutely. That's a great point about them joining the conference. I think my number four, I'm going to go with Texas A&M. I love their option attack that they implement out there in the Big 12. They just have to beat Oklahoma and Texas. I think if they beat those two teams, I like Texas A&M. I think they can get a chance. I think they could go all the way if they can get those two wins. And we've seen that. I mean, they play that close to the vest style of offense that allows you to stay in games longer than some of the teams who implement the spread. So I like Texas A&M to really threaten in the Big 12 this year.
So interesting you pick Texas A&M to be your number four team, because they're actually my number three, and I'll just transition right into it.
Okay.
To the Texas A&M Aggies, they're my number three team here to be a dark horse to contend for it all. They have 18 returning starters back from a team that went 9-4 last year. They were, in fact, going into 2010, my preseason favorite last year to be the Big 12 surprise team. And I think they surprised a bit with being able to produce a 9-4 season. Mike Sherman's doing a fine job there. They're deep at running back. Cyrus Gray is going to be one of the best in that conference. And quarterback Ryan Tannehill, he's just fine in that position.
Yeah.
It's going to be...
Yeah, I really like him.
Yeah, no, he's very good. And defensively, they're not going to have Von Miller anymore. He's taken his talents to the NFL. But this team's set up in such a way to surprise some people. They don't have that Texas Longhorn monkey on their back. They just need to get through Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, like you said.
Well, transitioning now to my number three team.
Three.
I have a team that was formerly in the Big 12 but is no longer as of this year, and that is the Nebraska Cornhuskers. They are returning six starters on offense, seven on defense, but the number one starter that they are returning, who I think is going to be key in my opinion, is, of course, quarterback Taylor Martinez, who is only a sophomore. I think that guy really showed last year that he can make plays in the clutch when they need to have them. And then I like Nebraska's chances this year in the Big Ten. I know the Big Ten has been realigned. It's going to be different, obviously, seeing the championship game, seeing the two divisions with the six games. But I like Nebraska's niche right now because you don't have a strong Ohio State. Penn State, we'll see whether they're good or not. I think Wisconsin's really the team to beat in that conference, and I think Wisconsin can certainly do that. I like Nebraska's chances of winning the Big Ten title as well as going all the way to the national championship. They're in the division with Northwestern, Minnesota, Michigan, Iowa, and Michigan State, and I think they can handle all of those teams.
I think they can do. I think this Nebraska team is so good. To me, they're so good. I left them out of my – didn't want to kind of throw that dark horse label on them in my little top five here, so I have them in my little honorable pool. I really like them a lot, and I think they can navigate through the Big Ten. I think that entire fan base, I mean, they've just got to be so excited to be out of the Big 12 and in a brand-new conference with a brand-new schedule. And I just think, I mean, if I were a Husker fan, I would be so fired up to be able to contend for a Big Ten title in year one of my new conference. And Virginia Tech did it in 2004. Excuse me. Virginia Tech won the ACC title right out of the gate. So it's not, I mean, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. Wisconsin is so strong. I really like them a lot more than Nebraska, but Nebraska can do it.
All right, Robert, number two.
My number two team, the Virginia Tech Hokies. Now, it's kind of tough to call Virginia Tech a dark horse, but nobody's picking them to win the national title this year. Nobody in any capacity. I mean, I haven't seen them, as far as preseason polls, I haven't seen them too far out of the top ten, but I'm saying they're good enough that they could probably do it. They've had double-digit winning records in the past seven seasons, which no one else has been able to do that. And in the not-so-great ACC, I think it's still impressive that they've been able to do it. They've been one of the most consistent programs in the country the last decade. And their schedule sets up almost perfectly for them to make an ACC and national title run. They do not have to play Florida State in the regular season. That is a big break for Virginia Tech.
It really is.
There's no more Tyrod Taylor around, but projected starting quarterback Logan Thomas, he'll just have to catch on quickly, and I think he can. With Virginia Tech, it's always defense anyway.
Absolutely. I My number two, I think we're stepping all over each other here, but I'm going to go with West Virginia, with the team you went a couple of slots ago, and I really, like you said, like Geno Smith. I think he has a chance to really burst out this year, but I think all of the controversy and the off-the-field distractions that came with the Holgerson-Stewart back and forth a couple of months ago, I think they're going to put those behind them, and they really want to move past that. And I think a great way to do that is to make a national title run in a Big East this year, like you mentioned earlier, that is just not all that strong, and anybody can have a chance to challenge. And I think West Virginia, look out. They win a couple of games, they could get on a roll, and I think they could go all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a scenario where West Virginia goes undefeated and maybe all the big guys up at the very tippy top just kind of beat one another up so much that everyone's kind of stumbling into January
right.
with a loss or two, and then undefeated West Virginia. I mean, depending on the rest of the landscape, I mean, you have to put them in there, right?
I think so.
So, yeah, I agree with you. Really good team. My number one team, dark horse for the national title, I picked the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's probably
wow.
a very big surprise for you. Because I actually regret not picking these guys to win the West.
Yeah.
I don't mind admitting it. There it is. I do regret not picking them to win the West.
That's a great pick.
Year.
Huh? That's a great pick as a number one dark horse.
It's Arkansas. They surprise people now and then. They're coming off of their first BCS appearance in the Sugar Bowl. It helps that they have Nile Davis at running back on the rare occasion that Petrino likes to run it. Defensively, Jake Beckett is going to be just fine there at defensive end. They've proven they can play a little bit of D against Ohio State last year in that game. And watch out for the name as far as sticking with defense here, defensive tackle Robert Thomas. He's a JUCO transfer. We've seen how good JUCO transfer defensive tackles can be in this
league. They can, yeah.
He's from Coffeyville Community College, Robert Thomas. Remember that name. He could be the future for Arkansas's D. It's the most ridiculously deep receiving core in the world. For Tyler Wilson
really
to throw into. So this team is legit, and they just made my dark horse list, and I have them number one. I think they can get back to New Orleans, rather.
Well, and I'm going to take a page out of your last playbook, and I'm going to go with Virginia Tech as my number one team. I think the Hokies, pretty much dressing off of everything that you said earlier, I think they have obviously a question at quarterback with Logan Thomas, but you have the two seniors at wideouts, the skill positions, and I think they have some seniority at offensive line for sure. I think Virginia Tech can certainly make it to the ACC title game and win that game because I think they'll be playing Florida State. And here's the key, as you said earlier, no playing Florida State in the regular season. So I think that's the key. And I really like your pick of Arkansas. A lot. I think the Razorbacks can do it this year. I like Bobby Petrino as a coach. I think they have an uphill climb, though. They have to go to Tuscaloosa and Baton Rouge. That's the only thing that's holding me back from thinking the Razorbacks can go all the way.
Yeah, I mean, they have a tough stretch there. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Come September 24th, they will have to play Alabama. They should be 3-0 going into that game. Then the following week, they have to go to Arlington, Texas to play Texas A&M to
right.
open up the October schedule. So ending September with Alabama, then opening up October with Texas A&M, then you come back home to play Auburn. I mean, that's looking like a pretty tough three-game stretch for these guys. But if Arkansas learns how to play defense, and I think they have, offensively, I'm not worried about any Bobby
no.
Petrino team he puts on the field, no matter where he is.
No.
It's all about defense for them if they can end up becoming one of the big contenders there in the SEC.
Well, Robert, another excellent show here about top five national dark horses. I think there were a lot of good points made, and I think you should look out for all of these teams, certainly,
yeah.
to and even in your honorable mention pool, which I thought was pretty comprehensive, I think you better look out because these teams, especially from the lesser conferences like the Big East and the Big 12, can get an undefeated season and be sitting right there, and an SEC team with a loss or two may have some trouble on their hands.
Yeah, and you have to look out for people like the Boise States of the world,
yeah.
too, which you and I discussed a few weeks ago. I kind of left them out of my little honorable mention list. TCU is on there because I think Gary Patterson, I think he's the best head coach in the country to have not yet won a national title.
He's a good one.
I think he's good enough to do so. It's just without Andy Dalton, I don't know if if they have what it takes. But you know, this is that's the kind of national title we saw last January. We saw two teams that ended up overachieving.
We certainly did. Robert, thanks so much for being with us on this Wednesday broadcast.
It's always a good time. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Well, we will be back on Friday with more from the Bunt Sports Show. Thanks for listening. And college football is not far away.